Whoever wins the White House next will almost certainly inherit two major conflicts, one between Russia and Ukraine and the other between Israel and Hamas. NPR's Greg Myrie has been covering both these wars and has this look at why they're lasting so long with no end in sight.
Shortly after Russia first invaded Ukraine in 2014, Ukrainian war correspondent Andrei Saplyenko was live on TV. The anchor asked him how long the fighting might last.
When I said it could take a couple of years to calm down the situation, and when the anchor heard it, he was really terrified in live broadcast.
Over the past 10 years, Saplyenko has been detained and beaten by Russian troops. He also suffered a serious leg wound that's left him with a limp. He's covered every twist and turn in the fighting and still doesn't know how or when the war will end.
Don't want to say forever, but for a long time, maybe the next decade.
The Russia-Ukraine war, as well as the Israel-Hamas conflict in Gaza, date back to disputes that began long before the current combatants were born. In both wars, a common question is, when will the fighting end? But given the tortured history, it might be better to ask, will they ever end?
Both of these conflicts have very, very high stakes that are relatively indivisible.
Gideon Rose is with the Council on Foreign Relations and wrote the book, How Wars End.
Russia is trying to conquer Ukraine. Ukraine is trying to fight for its life. The Israelis are trying to suppress all attacks from Gaza, and the Palestinians are trying to avoid being completely subjugated.
These conflicts also reflect a harsh reality of many modern wars. They can grind on inconclusively, even when the fighting reaches the point where neither side can score a complete battlefield victory. Paul Salem is based in Beirut with the Middle East Institute.
Sometimes there is no solution. For a decade or two, you got to manage the problem. You got to contain it. You got to make sure we don't go into World War III.
The current scenarios aren't new. In the past, some wars endured for many years or even decades. But several factors contribute to making modern wars last a long time, including these two in particular. First, weapons and technology have never flowed so freely. This means a smaller military can get its hands on more and better weapons than previously. Ukraine uses cheap drones to counter Russia's much larger traditional army. Again, Andrei Saplyenko.
It's just a toy turned to a weapon. One drone can cost maybe up to $1,000. And you can attack, a bigger target like tank and destroy it. The tank, which costs $3 million.
In the Middle East, Israel relies heavily on advanced U.S. weapons. Hamas in Gaza and Hezbollah in Lebanon used to fire short-range rockets that only threatened communities just across the border in Israel. But with help from Iran, those two groups have been firing thousands of rockets into Israel that can strike throughout the country. Second, these conflicts have defied permanent political solutions.
It's not enough to, of course, have a military strategy.
Chuck Freilich is a former deputy national security advisor in Israel.
You have to have a political one as well, and Israel hasn't had one for years and years, to my thinking, on the Palestinian issue.
The Israelis and Palestinians were close to a political settlement way back in the year 2000. Now, a full-fledged peace deal seems more distant than ever. Paul Salem notes that Israel used to fight traditional state-versus-state wars against neighboring Arab countries like Egypt, Jordan, and Syria. Now, Israel is trying to maintain long-term control over Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza.
You can win a war, but it's hard to win an occupation. Beating a state and getting the state to say, okay, I lose, so I'm going to stop, is different than maintaining an occupation, which the Israelis really have not managed to do sustainably.
Ultimately, most wars do end with negotiations, though the two sides tend to reach a deal only after one or both have reached the point of exhaustion. Again, Gideon Rose.
War is so terrible, therefore it must be in the incentive of people to stop it. Not necessarily the case.
He notes that leaders waging the wars often make very different calculations than soldiers and civilians bearing the brunt.
Somebody who initiates a war usually has a strong incentive to keep fighting it because unless they can get real victory, when it ends, they're kind of be in trouble.
Leaders who lose wars tend to be tossed out of power, and the potential consequences can be even more serious. The International Criminal Court in The Hague has issued an arrest warrant for Russia's Vladimir Putin, and prosecutors are pursuing warrants for Israel's Benjamin Netanyahu and Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar. And in times of war, leaders often pursue goals that may be beyond their reach. Israel's Netanyahu calls for total victory over Hamas. He wants to end the group's rule in Gaza and eliminate the threat to Israel once and for all. Yet Chuck Freilich says Hamas and its allies, Iran and Hezbollah, see mere survival as a victory and are pursuing their own long-term plans.
This is a multi-decade war in which there will be round after round. They're fully cognizant of that.
In the Russia-Ukraine war, Putin describes Ukraine as not being a real country, a place that should be part of Russia. Andrei Saplienko, the Ukrainian war correspondent, says this is exactly why Ukraine will keep fighting.
We realize this war is crucially important for Ukraine. This is the existential war. We will live or we won't live. That's it. I mean, the nation in general. So that's why we will fight to the end.
A fight that still has no end in sight. Greg Myrie, NPR News in Ukraine and Israel.